Yeah, my thought was along a similar line. I was thinking, where could we see an illustration of somebody who's girding up the loins of their mind? You can't see it when you're preparing your mind. But I'd like to just read a reference about Elijah in 1 Kings 18, where he actually, it says in the phrase of the scripture, he girded up his loins. He tucked in his robe so that he wouldn't trip over it. That's really what the expression means. You would do that because you were going to be moving, and you wouldn't want to fall over. So in 1 Kings 18, this is after the contest, you remember, on Mount Carmel there with the prophets of Baal and so on. And then Ahab apparently is still in the area, in the mountain area, and Elijah's been praying for rain. And he says in verse 41, Elijah says to Ahab, go ahead, go eat and drink. Abundance of rain is coming. And then Ahab, in verse 45, rides away and goes to Jezreel, to his home. But it says, verse 46, this was the picture I had in my mind. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Without elaborating on the particular experience that Elijah had here, it's just this picture we saw in 1 Peter, gird up the loins of your mind, do this, do this. There's always in the scriptures for the believer this, I'll say the word tension, these two truths, not a stressful thing, but what I mean is these two truths that sound opposite. One is the sovereign work of God, the supernatural power of God at work in our hearts and in our lives. We must rely, we must depend on the strength that God provides. We cannot do anything. The Lord Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We can't do anything in our own strength. And at the very same moment, not opposite to that, but along with it, partnering with that, are all these instructions to believers. Do this, do this, do this. Gird up the loins of your mind. We talk about Daniel, who purposed in his heart, and we hold up him as a paragon of commitment to the Lord. He purposed in his heart. Well, that's Daniel. That's Daniel purposing in his heart. And yet, of course, it's not because Daniel was some super spiritual giant. He was a human being just like any one of us. He needed dependence upon the Lord. So what I was getting at along with this, what Tim was saying about the transformation in Sam, the fact is God has already made us inside to be who he wants us to be. And at the same moment, we are instructed, we are exhorted to purposely, intentionally do certain actions. And when Elijah was going to be running down the mountain to the city, he intentionally said, how am I going to run well? I'm going to tuck in the long edges of my robe so I don't trip. So he fought purposely before he engaged in this action. And it's almost as if we need to develop the habitual mindset. Well, I'm going to engage in spiritual warfare today. I'm going to leave my house. I'm going to enter a world where I don't really belong. I'm walking in a world where I'm not home. There's going to be a lot of things that I could trip over. So I'm going to purposely prepare my mind for action. I'm going to purposely tuck in my mind to make sure I'm not taken by surprise by things that might make me stumble. And that's kind of a generic idea. What is it that might make me stumble? Well, there's many things. How do I prepare my mind? Well, there's the scriptures. What part of the scriptures am I going to need today? I don't know. The Lord knows. I have to leave that with him. But the intentional part, I think that rests with us, that we gird up the loins of our mind. We prepare our minds for action today, because today I'm going to need the Lord's help. But I'm going to put myself in a position where, if we might say it this way, it's easy for the Lord to help me, where we're meet for the master's use. We're fit for him to use that day.
Just a quick side note with a misconception. I feel that there's a big misconception in the church of and among believers when it comes to holiness. Because obviously what you just said, I mean, it's clear that holiness is obviously very linked. Personal practical holiness is very closely linked to obedience. Obedience to Christ. And I think there's a huge misconception in that holiness is something that we sometimes think we're we're empowered by it fully from the Lord. And yes, He has given, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and we're empowered to live a life unto God now. But once again, there's a purpose that we need to purpose in our hearts. We need to resolve. There needs to be some sort of commitment, dedication there. I feel we often lose that side of it. And this manifests itself when we say, you know, this sin is defeating me. This is defeating me. We look to the aspect of victory and defeat as opposed to what it really is, which is obedience and disobedience. We don't take responsibility for it, and we fall into that trap. We don't take responsibility. There's no resolve, there's no dedication there, and then we lose the responsibility and say we're defeated as opposed to we're disobeying. It comes down to obedience, and we need to purpose, like Daniel, in our hearts, not just give up in defeat.
Good. Mark.
Yesterday we talked about newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Another translation, the pure mental milk of the Word. But I'm really struggling because we live in a hyper-visual society. You know, there's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's Twitter, there's the internet, there's smartphones that bring it to you, and so it's with you wherever you are. There's this constant barrage of visual information and visual contact. And so one of the things that I've just been thinking about as we've been talking about it is really, and it's just very interesting how even people who aren't believers are realizing the danger of this visual electronic information overload. And there are those who are doing what they call weekend electronic detoxes, where they deliberately turn off every electronic gadget in their possession for a day or two on the weekends. What we have to really understand and really be honest with ourselves is that if, in fact, it's the Word of God that has brought me to new birth, and it's the Word of God that's going to help me guard my mind and orient my mind, I've got to place a little priority on the Word of God.
Amen.
I've got to place a certain emphasis on the Word. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I have to see how God sees the word of God and how God wants the word of God to work in us. In speaking about pilgrimage and moving in a direction, and this is a little bit different thought, but very similar. He says in Hebrews 12, lay aside the weight. You know, you talked about tucking up his garment. Well, there's things that we carry on us and prevent us from pursuing and deliberately moving forward. How easy it is to get up and check my Facebook status and update my Facebook status than to sit still in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me.
Yeah.
And so let's be very pragmatic and very practical. Sometimes we place more emphasis on the electronic involvement and involvement that we have. And I'm not making any judgment about those things. I'm just simply pointing out is that the means by which God brings about sanctification in a practical way, as He has already sanctified us, is through the Word. It's called thinking biblically. It's called having a biblical worldview. A lot of new phrases that describe the same thing. It's saying that my thought patterns are going to be driven by the dictates and directions of the Word of God, and it implies obedience as well.